This is Tom Browning.
This is Pat Lackey.
This is Raquel Aurelia.
My name is Kurt Evans.
This is Rich Aurelia.
Hi, hello, and welcome, everybody. This is George Grant of the Cincinnati Reds, and welcome. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on RedHotMama.com.
Welcome, baseball fans. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on this Monday, April 2nd, 2007. I'm your host, Amanda. And with me, as always, is the crack technical staff. Welcome to the show, Johnny. Oh, what are you so tired for?
No reason.
Did you get all excited about opening day? Were you jumping up and down in your chair? Because I was. Not so much?
No.
Yeah, I was bouncing. I've never been so excited about an opening day. I don't know what the deal was, but I was sitting there in my chair, bouncing up and down.
I don't know. I just worked too hard today.
My company's got this. They're sort of on a kick about internet usage. You know, they don't allow any kind of streaming audio or any kind of streaming video, and like they're while we were at spring training last week, they sent kind of an ominous message about. After reviewing the logs of people's access, we've discovered that some people don't need a reminder on the internet usage policy, and we're going to consider this a grace period, and any further abuses of the internet are going to be something proactively addressed or something like that. They use some phrase like that, and so I'm like, if they're coming after me for like the one post a month that I put up on Red Hot Mama because something timely has happened and I've got to get it up during the day, then I'm quitting because I was in that kind of mood that day. And but then there was a follow up message today or maybe Friday that was like the weather programs like Weather Bug and stock tickers and live updating sports scores are taking up a lot of bandwidth, and it becomes like apparent that that's the problem. And then a coworker of mine was over talking to me today, and he's saying that we're talking about the internet usage thing, and he says, you know, there's probably a handful of people that are the most egregious offenders. He says, for example, the vice president. I'm trying to think what he says. He says, the last time I talked to the vice president, he had me in his office to show me the entire White and Nerdy video by Weird Al Yankovic. Streaming live on his computer, and like, yeah, that there you go.
Yeah, like, review the logs.
What's great about that is that not only is he sucking bandwidth doing that, but it's probably illegal. I mean, it's probably not a legal copy of the video.
It probably is. I mean, they put that up.
Maybe.
I mean, Weird Al had it on his MySpace page, so I think
could,
it's okay.
It could be. But whether he knew it was legal or not, I suppose is a different question entirely. But in any event, I was afraid to bring up the game day today. I only had it up for like 10 minutes.
I turned it off.
I'm afraid they're gonna come get me.
I had the GameCast up, but my computer was running very slowly today, so I ended up shutting it down.
Dude, they've changed it this year.
I know.
It's huge.
Huge.
It's like, and what's great about it is that it's just as slow and has just as many pauses in the middle. Only now it does annoying things like with transitions.
Yes. I got about four balls in a row, like bam, 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 bam. They like slid up the screen real pretty. Like I'm like, you know, that's great, but
I could have used that information.
Used that in
2 minutes ago.
More orderly progression.
Yeah, yeah, and like,
I kept looking for the tiny button, like you know, make
nice.
It tiny instead of filling up half my screen.
Well, they ought to have that option because it was huge. I mean, it used to be a relatively normal size, but really what it comes down to is I could use just the silhouette of the diamond.
Yeah.
And just the text description of what the place
was. Do you mean
were.
Like the one with the batter, the 3D one that has different camera angles now, or do you mean the one that shows where the batters are?
I've taken some very amusing screen captures of the graphics of the pitches coming in. There's one where like David Ross struck out swinging on three pitches, and they were all like at his feet.
Yeah,
I mean that's just cute. But really, I could just take the picture of the diamond that's got the names of the players at their positions,
and the runners when they're on,
and you know, I could hover over the pitcher to see how many pitches he's thrown, and that's really all I need. I don't need the photographs.
They
I don't
definitely
need
the
animation.
A minimize.
That would be nice, and then maybe I'd get be less afraid to have it up on my desktop.
True, because there's so many things. I mean, it's constantly loading something.
Yeah, and it's not even like good.
And here's all the scores and all the other games you don't care about because you're not having the game day tracker thingy on them.
Yeah, seriously.
But we're gonna give you that anyway. And here's news ticker.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit. It's great. it would be great if there were the option to turn
down.
That stuff off.
Yeah, I'm with you there, because I'm afraid to have it on. And plus, it's it still does the same annoying thing where I went back after the game to review a play. I had seen a mistake in a game wrap, and I wanted to verify that what I remembered was right.
Right.
So I go back into the, I try to go into the fifth inning, and what it used to always do, where it would, like, the scroll bar in the list of plays in that inning would, like, always flip to the bottom. So no matter where you drug it up along where it was supposed to go, it would always flip back to the bottom.
Drug it up.
And even if you were, like, anyway, it still does that. Only it does it more smoothly now.
So it's kind of
with transitions.
It's all iMacified.
It's iMac. It's annoying iMac, as if that wasn't already redundant.
Yeah.
But in any event, what we were watching on the game day.
What were we watching?
Fantastic. Opening day.
Opening day, as if it weren't good enough, for the pseudo opening day, opening night.
Whatever.
With the Cardinals and the Mets, mm-hmm. and the Cardinals totally losing with their only legitimate starter.
It's true. It's true, because the big complaint people have about the Reds, and all these national media people are all like, the Reds' rotation doesn't go anywhere after the first two. Well, where does the Cardinals' pitching rotation go after the first one?
I know.
I mean, is that one really enough?
There's
anyway.
They have more rotation issues, I think, than the Reds do.
I would have to agree, especially now that Milton's on the DL.
That's right.
Gotta love that.
That's as good for the Reds as the Cardinals getting rid of Marquis.
I tell you what, I don't think that Milton deserved to be needed to be booed at opening day. I think that's just bringing negativity into it.
He hasn't actually done anything negative this year.
This season.
And he was completely mediocre last year.
Yeah. I mean, he was...
Maybe the last start.
Obviously injured, way overpaid. Don't get me wrong. Obviously.
It's not his fault.
But he would be overpaid if he was the number one. I mean, he's the second highest paid Red.
Gosh.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's...
In any event.
Not his fault.
Yeah, but what we're getting at there is that the rotation's actually looking fairly decent. So far, so good, man. Harang looked confident, didn't he?
I totally knew that would happen.
He was on top
last
of his
year,
game.
Last year, not so much with the opening day start for him. It was five runs in the first inning, 9 runs total. He had no clue. He'd never pitched a game with
he was
that, in that
off,
atmosphere. Nothing
good,
ever that big.
Good performance, and he was obviously the choice. But yeah, he was not prepared for the pressure, it looked like. And he's a pretty low-key guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of pressure for a harangue not to be prepared for it. But today,
I knew it was
different.
Do it once, and then he goes through the year and has a great year.
Yeah, fantastic.
Cy Young caliber year, despite not getting a single vote.
Mm-hmm.
And he, breezes through spring training without really trying too hard, just working on his stuff. Doesn't have very good results, but nobody cares.
I didn't care. I was confident.
And then he comes in and... Whack some Cubs.
Takes them down. The Whack-a-Cub game, by the way, was very popular.
Cool.
And very nice.
I stayed up so late, almost at 10 o'clock, working on that.
I know you did. I stayed up until, almost midnight, sending tips to Deadspin and linking it on Red Zone
and
stuff.
And you can tell when Deadspin put their link up.
Oh, yes, you can.
Like, suddenly the little day grab, woo, straight up. Their popular site.
Yes.
That's fun.
It is. It is. And, they never fail to link to the fun stuff that when we send tips to them, it's just a matter of actually getting the fun stuff done.
Right.
And it takes so much time and, some thought. And then you sit there, and even if you have a minute to program something, it's like, what in the world do we do? It'll be better when we move. Have more time. Get the creative juices flowing when we're relaxed a little bit.
So, we're home now.
Back from spring training. Back from our spring training vacation. That was a good time.
Yes.
I recommend the spring training vacation to any Reds fans out there. I know that a book I reviewed earlier this in the off season was about spring training, and it had some recommended vacations, and it had you swinging through a whole bunch of different parks and stuff. And I guess that's for the person who doesn't care which team they're watching,
or is just it's just all about baseball. And I don't even know that that would be a good thing to do.
I would.
Because there's so much driving involved.
There is so much driving.
You go to the few that are. At least in Florida, that are right close together, like the Reds and the Pirates. Mm-hmm. I think some of the others are real close, too. But most of the parks are an hour or more away, and who wants to
Yeah, our first year, we made a trip out to several of the OA parks and then pretty much abandoned that immediately.
Yep.
Because it's just, well, we were driving, of course. So, you know, you drive 20 hours to get there. You don't really feel like hopping back in the car for another hour and a half to go out to Winter Haven or whatever. You definitely don't want to drive any length of time to go to Winter Haven. In fact, if you can avoid Winter Haven entirely,
right.
I recommend it.
Unless it's your job, then you should probably go.
Yeah, if it's your job. I think that that's a good place for you to go.
Yeah.
It's your job. Anyway.
But we're back. We're well rested. A little bit tanned. Didn't get a single burn.
Yeah, just a little. Well, I got a little bit on my knees.
A little on your
knees. They're itchy today.
The plane fried was bumpy sometimes, but
safe. Flew this time, so the trip down was much less agonizing.
Yes. And our kid rode a plane for the first time.
Yeah.
By the end, totally bored with it.
Yeah, you know. I think, your mom on a plane to this day is, like, clutching the armrests as we take off and land. And here's our five-year-old sleeping.
Yeah.
Just relaxed.
So we did, like, the
Game Boy.
Well, the falling there. Feeling that you occasionally get during takeoff and landing.
Yeah, I didn't dig that. Man, we had one flight that had so much turbulence that I was getting ready to erp. I was on
reaching,
the edge there.
Getting ready to reach for the baggie.
I'm like, yeah. When I start making that noise, it's when you know.
I'm glad it didn't come to that.
Yeah. Me too.
I mean, I had enough stress trying to go to the freaking taking our kid to the restroom with the seatbelt light still on.
I liked that first landing when we were landing in Atlanta from Dayton. And as we're landing, coming down towards the runway, the plane is, like, tipping back and forth, back and forth. I'm like, you've done this before, right, man?
Not at night.
You understand the plane has to be flat.
They'll both get down eventually.
We would like the tips of the wings to be intact when we are finished with this ride.
Yeah, that is...
Though, you know, what do we care as long as the... As long as we get off the plane. But in any event, we still have not come back around to opening day.
Oh, yeah.
Harang looked fantastic.
Yes.
But the other big story was Adam Dunn. Because, man, that guy was responsible for three of the Reds' runs.
Almost a fourth if he hadn't been thrown out at home.
Yeah.
It was a four, so it's not like he was stealing home or something.
No, he was. It was a force out at home, and it was, you know, they didn't get anyone else. So they all they were able to do was prevent Dunn from scoring. And, you know, he was on base because they walked him.
Right.
Out of fear.
You think Carlos Zambrano was afraid of Dunn?
I do. I think
just because he hit two home runs off him already.
Yeah. And they were beautiful, too. I tell you what. The first one goes up, and, you know, Friel walks the first time. So he hasn't had an opportunity to run yet, so he's on base. And then Dunn comes up there, and, man, you just know it. You see that swing, and it's like, oh, wow, there it is. And then, you know... Friel does
so he wasn't trying to bunt to get Friel.
Not so
but
much.
He's batting second, isn't
he? He is indeed batting second, which I did think about that briefly, you know, as he hit the home run. Like, man, just think if he was batting fourth, there might have been more guys on.
I don't know. Who would be batting in front of him?
Phillips. And Phillips didn't have that great offensive game today. And, Griffey?
Maybe. I don't know. It's tricky.
They could just, you know, swap Griffey and Dunn there, right, you know, in the lineup, and he could swap that home run, and it could be a grand slam.
There you go. Because all those guys would get on.
Oh, yes. Of course.
Just because Friel has a higher on-base percentage than all of those.
Might be. Which reminds me, I was talking about Friel. So he does his trot, you know, around because Dunn's hit the home run, and he's, like, gone through the entire inning. He's scored a run. He hasn't gotten the least bit
gotten
dirty.
A hit.
He hasn't even run yet. And then he goes out there, and he's in center field, you know, it was actually in the top of the inning. And he comes up on this ball to shallow center, and you could just, like, feel, you could feel him wanting to jump for it. You could see his inertia almost going that way, and then he holds back, which he said he was going to do. He had, like, a quote before the game saying that he wasn't going to do anything stupid on opening day. He was going to dial it back a little bit.
Was he talking about on the field, or...
Yeah. I hope both. I hope he's not getting himself in any trouble as we speak. And
that sounds more like a Bengals thing, anyway.
Well, them too. Though there would probably be weapons involved.
Ah, yeah.
So he didn't get dirty in the top of the inning. Didn't get dirty in the bottom of the inning. didn't come back up in the right. second inning, came back up to lead off the third. And then there was that play where they overthrow first, and so he takes off for second. And I'm like, you know what? He had to do that. Because that brilliant white uniform needed to get dirty. And if he didn't have an opportunity to get into the dirt somehow, I think he might have exploded.
Somewhere Farney would have been crying.
Farney was already crying. Farney was deep in there weeping a little bit. I haven't done anything for spectacular yet. And, you know, being thrown out at second wasn't so spectacular. No, but
he got to be dirty.
But he got to be dirty, and if it had worked, it would have been awesome.
Yeah, but if he hadn't gone for second...
If he hadn't gone for a second,
it would have been 4-0.
It would have been a 2-run homer from Dunn the next time up. And then, yeah.
What I liked was after the 2 home runs by Dunn, then they walk Dunn. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the very next batter, Phillips, gets hit.
I know. You think so, bro? I was a little pissed off.
Even though the Cubs won last year, Zambrano was also terrible. Like, I don't know if he's like this the whole season, but every time, on opening day at least, I just remember him going through an inning or... where he just loses it.
Mm-hmm.
Mentally, just freaks out, loses it, I don't know.
Well, even...
just stops stops knowing how to pitch.
Even though the Reds, took it hard last year for opening day, they still scored 7. So, I mean, it's not like it was a fantastic performance by Zambrano there.
It was a much nastier day last year.
And he's their number one. Where does the Cubs rotation go after Zambrano?
Ted Lilly?
Are you excited about Ted Lilly?
No.
You think he's gonna do great things? Not so much.
He might be. He'll probably be average-ish.
That's fine. And then where does it go after that?
I have no idea.
I don't know either. I mean, it's not their two big guys.
They'll have. I think they've got Marquis in there somewhere.
Oh yeah, Marquis. Of course, they paid him. They way overpaid him.
Who else? I can't remember now.
That's okay. My point. But you take my point.
Ah.
I mean. When people complain, that when people rank the Reds to finish last.
Because they've only got 2 starters.
Based on the fact that they've got only 2 starters, I say, who else in this division has 2 starters?
I would say the Brewers do.
The Brewers.
The Brewers have Ben Sheets and Jeff Suppan now.
Do all 5 of the teams have more than 2 starters?
No.
Then it's not a very valid argument, is it?
No.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. What else have we got?
The Brewers won today.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Sheets actually was healthy, made a start,
uh-huh.
and won.
So they've got the Reds and the Brewers both won, and the Cardinals lost. Haha.
Cubs lost. It was great because before the Reds even played, before the season really started, they were already in first, the Cardinals were already in last. That doesn't happen all the time.
Much more important. What about the Astros and the Pirates? Did they played each other? I presume.
Did they?
No, I don't know.
Maybe. Because, I mean, the Reds were playing the Cubs, but the Cardinals aren't playing a Central Division foe. They're playing the Mets, right.
I don't know. In any event, tomorrow the Reds get the day off, which is painful for me, personally. I mean, I don't get to go to the parade. I don't get to do all the partying, so I don't really need Tuesday off. I'm anxious for more baseball. I'm ready to go. But they get the day off to think about, last year they were thinking about what they'd done, sitting in the corner. This year they're lavishing the glory. What?
I just looked it up. Pittsburgh beat Houston in extras.
In extras?
4-2.
Oh, it's going to be a tough year. All right. Wow. So Pittsburgh and the Reds and the Brewers all in first. The Cubs and the Cardinals and the Astros all in last. Interesting.
I wonder if that's how it'll end. It very well could.
Well,
except for the Pirates.
Like so many people say, the entire division's up for grabs. Yeah.
I was looking at some of the critics' previews over the weekend, and ones that had records. There was only, 10 to 15 games difference between first and last place.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, predicting... They're apparently not willing to, go out on much of a limb. So they've got one team in first, but it's only by 2 games, so it's...
Well, it's sort of interesting is that, I was reading in the, the Cincinnati papers and some other, previews and stuff, and, fans on Reds.com, I think they had some things where they talked to some fans. And it was, people predicting what how many wins, I think, and a lot of them were coming like, oh, probably be around 500, maybe a couple games over 500. And I'm like, that's plenty.
Right.
Like, in this division, like, that'll take it for you, you know? You can win this division with 500 record. So at least you could last year, right, or thereabouts. So, I think it says good things. I mean, yeah, if even the pessimistic people are giving us a record that I think that can stand up.
And a lot of the season previews have also had, like, had the Central as being a not very good division.
Mm-hmm.
But I think almost all the teams have improved from last year.
Mm-hmm. Except for the Cardinals, yeah.
And the Cardinals won everything last year. And then the year before that, wasn't it a Central team that made it to the series?
Mm-hmm. Sure enough.
Yeah, it's like, wow, it's a really bad division.
I guess. But you never know what's going to happen now. It's just, so much fun to fly high on the victory of the opening
That's
day.
Right. Now, like, Harang's on pace for 32 wins.
That's right.
He'll get about, what? Oh, well, he won't get very many strikeouts, because he's only on pace for around 150, 160 of those.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Dunn's on pace for how many home runs?
324, right?
There you go. That'll be pretty sweet.
324, that'll be great, because he just hit 200. So that'll take him up to 524.
That'll be neat.
Yeah, that will be...
I wonder if he'd win the MVP then.
You know, I bet he would.
He thinks Harang would get the Cy Young,
I don't know, because, you know, they would probably...
he wouldn't have very many strikeouts.
He's still on pace for 162 of those.
Yeah, but that's not very many. I mean, he'd be getting over 200 innings, and it's just not very many strikeouts per inning.
Truly told. Man, he looked good out there, though, didn't he? I don't know if you got to see him at
all. I did not see any video, but...
Oh, I mean, he wears the first of all, I thought the uniforms they were wearing were just gorgeous. I don't know why they appealed to me so much, but they're all white and shimmery. They look very heroic. And then Dunn's just, you know, he's looking really good. He's all slimmed down and wears his pants very well, except for the fact that they're too baggy. But
well, you know.
At the bottom. I mean, he's got them a little bit snugger at the top. He's got less to hide.
Does he have, like, bell bottoms? Are they flaring out?
They look more like sweatpants. You know, the way sweatpants, like, kind of come in at the ankles with this elastic, and then with the kind of blousey underneath around there. Yeah, that's pajama pants, really. It looks like he's in his pajamas with a belt on. I mean, that's all. A belt and a hat.
But...
Which, maybe that's what he sleeps in. What do I know?
They're not allowed to wear the uniforms outside of the field.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, they could sleep in the clubhouse.
Maybe. Unless it's for promotional appearances. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not allowed to wear them. They're not just allowed to go out in their baseball uniforms.
I would bet that more than one uniform has been snuck out specifically for the purpose of being worn outside of the ballpark.
Maybe so.
You know, in the bedroom. Not necessarily for the sleeping.
Maybe so.
I can see that'd be kind of a turn-on. That's what I'm saying.
So you like a man in uniform?
In a baseball uniform.
How about Mr. Redlegs? Does he do
it
for you?
Yeah, Mr. Redlegs, the new mascot. Very good point. I wasn't surprised by what he looked like.
I don't know why I was. I think I could. I read about him showing up. Probably even saw a picture.
Well, but I mean,
I had no idea.
Sleeves. He looks exactly like Mr. Red with a mustache.
Yeah.
What's surprising about this?
I don't know.
The only thing is that I could possibly imagine, like, there's a slight percentage he'd come out looking like the Brewer. The Brewer mascot, the guy with the great mustache
the
there.
Bernie, is it?
Yeah, whatever his name is. You know, like, just a guy with a big head.
Yeah.
And it would be with a big mustache. Yeah. And I could possibly see that, but no, of course not. I mean, he's going to look like Mr. Red. They're going to make him match. Where the hell's the Gapper? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. Did they get rid of Gapper?
I don't know.
So many questions left unanswered.
I know. I totally want to interview the Gapper. I've got some great questions for him.
Was his last hurrah Reds Fest?
He was in full effect at Reds Fest. If it was, then, you know, he definitely got his swan song. In any event, what else we got?
I don't have anything. Oh, actually, one little thing. I saw a picture about the fans at the Brewers game.
Mm-hmm.
Had a 12-person beer bong.
How do you do that?
There's a lot of duct tape and piping and two kegs involved.
So, it, like, actually had spouts for 12 people? Like, people were under
yep.
it? Oh, that sounds, seems gross. That seems like it's going to have some sort of backwash problem or something. I don't know. Of course, I guess I don't know if backwash would go up the bong. But
exactly.
You know what it sort of seems like? teat.
Beer tit.
Teat. Beer teat.
For 12 people, that'd be a very large cow.
Sort of like, cows don't have teats, cows have udders. I'm talking about like dogs. That would be a very large dog. Yeah. The dogs only have 8. But it's sort of like, on vacation, we were thinking about making beer popsicles.
No, we weren't. It was a joke.
No, that wasn't the joke. I think a beer popsicle could actually work, because that'd be a nice cold beer. That'd be a really freaking cold beer. The thing that was the joke was the beer float.
Beer float. That would be gross.
Like a root beer float, only minus the root.
Right.
What else could you want? Because, you know, I love ice cream. I love beer.
Yeah?
Why not bring these two together?
There's many things you don't like together. Like ketchup and ice cream, for instance.
I never tried that. I don't know anyone who would try a crazy thing like that, do you?
Me either. So, have we rambled on long enough then?
I think maybe that we have. I'm just still so super psyched about the win. It's a very good feeling, and you know, this is the only way to start off a wire-to-wire season.
That's right, with the Cardinals losing.
That's right, with the Cardinals losing.
That had to happen.
It did. Otherwise, it couldn't be a true wire-to-wire.
Just 161 more wins to go.
They can do it. They can do it.
Hopefully they do start off with a pretty good streak. I think they could. I mean, Bronson going against Lilly on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. See Bronson.
And then
good.
No Belial. I mean, no Milton. They've got Belial in the rotation instead.
Right.
Seems like they've got their four best.
So are we going to see Loesch going on Thursday then?
I think so. I would imagine so.
Yeah, and then bring in Belial after that.
So it seems like
it's all good.
Two wins off of the Cubs. Hmm? Is it a two-game or a three-game series?
Yeah. Three-game series.
I think they can win that series. They might sweep it. We'll see.
And then on to Pittsburgh. And then back to Chicago, I believe.
Wow.
No, Arizona's in there somewhere. Arizona, whew. That's a big old flight to just suddenly up and take.
It should be fun. It's nice to have games that count in the standings.
Yes. And I appreciate you saying games that count rather than games that matter, because that really gets under my skin. I don't know why that bothers me.
All matter. None of them are.
They all matter, and none of them matter.
Yeah.
You know, they all matter in as much as that they're entertainment to us.
As much as you put into them. If you don't find them entertaining, then they don't matter to you.
And but none of them really matter.
No.
You know, none of them matter the way that like a teacher matters, or that like a surgeon matters, or something like that. You know, it doesn't save anyone's life.
Or a cat.
But it does make you happy.
Matters.
Cat matters.
Yeah. She's jingling back there.
Oh, good. Well, she's got to annoy us somehow. That's pretty much what she does. Anyway, so keep flying high on this win, and get ready for another one on Wednesday, and keep hanging in there. Until then,
go Reds!
Red Hot Broadcast, the only all-Reds weekly podcast, sounds much better than it did a year ago. Subscribe to our show via iTunes and write a review of the program to let us know what you think. And to share your thoughts with other Reds fans, visit the show's site at red-hot-mama.com.
So did you enjoy the co-ed naked podcasting?
I did. I think I'll go put on a bra now.